So my next job here is just to lead us to the communion table, which is a great place for us to start at the beginning of a new year. And my hope is that as we come to the Lord's table this morning, that we come with some optimism. I get a little, I don't know, discouraged, I guess, when Christians are the most pessimistic people around. We're down in the mouth always about the world, about society, where things are going. We have reason to be optimistic, don't we? Okay. First of all, I want to let you know that we aren't the only people praying this morning. Do you realize that we have one of the members of the Trinity praying for us all the time? God Himself is praying for us as we start 2018. Listen to Romans chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So even if we don't know what to say, if the only thing that can come out is, I don't know, the Holy Spirit can interpret those groanings and make intercession before us, before the Heavenly Father. That's good news. We have reason to be optimistic. What are you looking forward to this year? What's ahead of you in 2018? Where are the places you're going to be this year? Where are you going? Are you looking forward to some new experiences, some new relationships that you're going to have? Maybe some of you will retire this year. That's a great thing to look forward to. Maybe there are things in your job, in your career, new markers that you're going to pass this year, things you're looking forward to and hope that you'll accomplish. And I suspect, if we're honest today, that there are some harder things on the horizon as well, right? I know that some of us are facing severe challenges with our health, with our kids. Some of us are facing some challenges in our families, our marriages. Others of us, as we look ahead in our careers, it's not so much that we're excited about new goals that we're about to achieve. There are some severe challenges, some obstacles that stand in our way that are making us nervous about 2018. And of course, we are a society of human beings. There are things we are facing as North Americans, as Canadians, that could be giving us a little bit of nervousness. Mr. Weinstein and many around North America have reminded us that equality, decency, the way we treat one another in the workplace is an issue that we're tackling as a society right now. And it's going to be something we're looking at together in 2018. We're having conversations right now in Canada about what's good for society and what's bad for society in terms of morality, right? These are conversations that we will have in 2018. We're having some pretty sharp disagreements in our country about what's good and bad. What is good sex? What are reproductive rights supposed to be? What is the end of life? What makes for a good end of a person's life? What about the environment? How do we keep people employed and have jobs and income without destroying our planet? And we're still struggling as Canadians on how to deal with racial tensions in our own backyard, right? And if we aren't careful, that pessimism, because of our personal disappointments, our personal discouragement, together with all of these social problems, we may start to get down in the mouth. And our concerns, our worries will override our optimism. And if we're not careful, we can, as people, just check out, right? Who cares? It's too complicated, all these things we're facing. It's too hard to deal with the challenges in my life and all that's going around in society. I'm just going to watch Netflix in 2018. I'm going to play video games. I'm going to go shopping. We're going to go on holidays and just try to escape and forget about it as much as possible. We could check out if we're not careful. Or we might decide to do just what's best for me. Forget about trying to be diplomatic and nice. Forget trying to work on stuff, the challenges in my family or in my job. My $100, my $1,000, my $10,000 is not going to end global hunger. So why not just keep it for me? Why serve? Why help? Why try to make a difference in any sphere of life? Because the odds are that something's going to happen, someone's going to get in charge, and they're going to mess it all up, and we're going to have to start from square one all over again. So I'll just take care of numero uno. But there is another way that we can look at the future and look at what's ahead, look at the challenges that are facing us, and the communion table, I think, tells the story of an alternative perspective. Let me read to you the story of the Last Supper, at least a portion of it, as the gospel writer Luke tells it in Luke 22, starting in verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." From the perspective of this table, God never tries to convince us that all of life is peachy keen. His story, the story of the Word of the world as told in this book, is pretty honest about the challenges and the issues we face in our life. The Bible is full of stories about horrible marriages. There are terrible sicknesses here. People facing incredible injustice. There's war, there's plague, there's famine, there's suffering, there's deception at every level of human society. There are really, really disappointing people in the Bible. You name it. It's all there in black and white in Scripture. But the Bible's underlying conviction, the theme song that keeps being played over and over again in the Scriptures, is that God is doing something about all that messed up stuff. Time is not just an endless, meaningless cycle of repeated stupidity. That's not our view of time. Time is headed somewhere. And the pivotal moment of human history unfolded when God himself arrived on the scene. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus. God, alive in flesh and blood and living in this same crazy world that you and I are living in, facing the same frustrating realities that we do, he didn't come just to tell a few interesting stories or to teach people how to be nice to each other. He came to restore, to reboot, to reset the very order of our world again. He came to bring the universe, the entire thing, people, families, economies, ecosystems, governments, all of that Jesus came to bring under the rule of God. Through Jesus, God's kingdom has broken into our reality like a freight train. But that didn't happen the way people thought it would happen. Most people would think that if God is going to set up his kingdom, if he's going to change the world, if he's going to solve our frustrations, he'll do that by smashing his enemies or by making some gigantic political decisions. But instead of following the common logic, Jesus has demonstrated God's power and authority by giving his life away in love. Rather than subject the entire world with an iron fist, Jesus served it by giving his life away on its behalf. He didn't give into self-centeredness or cynicism like we might be tempted to do. He beat the system by dying on a cross and rising again 3 days later. This is part of the story that we remember, keyword, remember when we take communion. We are tying ourselves to what Jesus has already done to save us and to restore this broken world. Hear it again from what he said in Luke 22. "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that we're about to drink is the new covenant in my blood, which has already been poured out for you." We are remembering the most important moment in history. God loved his world so much that he sacrificed his own son to save it. But if we stop just at remembering, we have not got the whole story. Jesus died a long time ago, 2,000 years, and yet we are still painfully aware today that things are not right. We're still messed up. Parenting is still hard. Our bodies are still breaking down and dying. Countries are still fighting with one another. If Jesus has died to resolve all this, then why are we still frustrated? Well, it's because the story does not stop at the cross or even the empty tomb. There is still more to come. One day, Jesus will return to bring the kingdom in its fullness, the way the world was designed to be. Someday, Jesus will deal conclusively with all that makes our experience here on this planet bitter. Death, pain, crying. The old order, Revelation says, the old order of things will pass away. Finally, we will have on that day life the way it is supposed to be. No frustrations. Jesus is making all things new. Listen to how Paul talks about that day in Romans chapter 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. That waiting, that expectation, is also what this table is about. Communion doesn't just take us back to what Jesus has done, not just back to the Last Supper. It points us ahead to the future, ahead to the day that we will experience the full effects of Jesus' death and resurrection, ahead in anticipation of the day that we will eat this meal with him face to face. This forward-looking part of communion is all over Luke chapter 22. Listen to it again. Verse 15, Jesus says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That's in the past. Jesus has already suffered and died for us, but it doesn't end there. For I tell you, he says, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. The day that creation is liberated from all of its frustration. As Jesus ate this meal, he was already looking ahead to another meal, the marriage supper of the Lamb, a phenomenal feast that we will celebrate, that fact that Jesus has finally brought his people together, never to be frustrated or disappointed again. That's what communion does. It ties us to our past and to our future. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, that's the past, until he comes. That's the future. So no, things in 2018 are not as they should be, not yet as they should be, but Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has already changed the game. Therefore, we, this morning, as we begin 2018, anticipate the future where every part of our lives and this world will be made new. Our bodies, our relationships, our work, society, the environment. Jesus' plan is for a complete renovation. I need hope. You need hope. We need to eat and drink at this table. I need to renew my faith in a Jesus who makes things new. He who began a good work in us will carry it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. So, 2018 may have its share of challenges, but we can be optimistic. In the end, even our worst sufferings will not define us, because Jesus is making all things new. So let's eat together today with optimism. Let's engage in these new initiatives as a church family, because we believe that God is still at work among us. And let's trust God together in the midst of the personal challenges you may be facing. He will overcome through Jesus Christ. Do you believe it?